entrepreneur, international speaker, preacher, author, and business coach. Patrice is the co-founder and chief servant officer of both Nehemiah Project International Ministries and PG & Associates LLC, which he founded with his wife and best friend, Gina Sage. Patrice specializes in helping families incorporate their faith into their business practices, ensuring that their businesses are able to exist beyond the third generation. And now, introducing Patrice Sage.
Welcome to the Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Community Podcast. I'm your host, Patrice Sage. Today, we're going to continue our discussion on the Biblical Entrepreneurship Essentials, which is my latest book, The Fundamental Guide to Building a Kingdom Business. If you've not yet gotten your copy, you want to pick it up, go to our website, nehemiahecommunity.com, nehemiahecommunity.com. They can pick up your copy of the book. Today, we're going to, by the way, almost done with the book. If you want to, if you can't afford the book, e-copy or physical copy, and you want to get insights from the book, you want to go ahead and go to our YouTube channel or subscribe to our podcast. And there could you guys, team, put a link on how they can go to our YouTube channel or subscribe to our podcast so that they can get earlier talks about the book if they like to get more resources. So today we're going to talk about biblical entrepreneurship versus secular or worldly entrepreneurship. And our foundation scripture here is Proverbs 3:31, which states, "Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways." That is a familiar passage of scripture. And oftentimes when I'm teaching the class and I read the scripture, I often ask my students the question, why would this scripture is written to believers? Why would a believer envy an oppressor? Right? Why would a believer envy an oppressor? And first, I ask the question, who's an oppressor? You know, what are the characteristics of an oppressor? And oftentimes they'll say an oppressor is somebody who uses force or illegal or unethical means to regard power and success. And then I say, well, why would a Christian envy somebody like that? And two, the response is, well, because of what they have. They have money, power, and wealth. And then I ask the question, okay, so really when the scripture reads, envy not the oppressor and choose none of his ways, what the scripture in a sense saying is that if you, I can read another way, if you envy the oppressor, you are going to choose his ways. And the question becomes, what would we envy that an oppressor have? The power, the money, and the wealth. So this scripture is often violated when we are caught up or consumed by what other people have, and those people happen to be those who either have gotten what they have illegally or unethically, or retain them illegally or unethically. So what I would then often say to my students is, so if you don't want to envy the oppressor and choose his ways, then you have to reject the benefits of the oppressor. You have to reject the power, the wealth, and the success, whatever they have. Because it is the benefits, what they have, not their ways, that often attracts us. You know, we kind of like attitudes like this. Well, you know, he's rude and obnoxious, and he's unethical, and he's a thief and a scoundrel. But Lord, I sure would like to have what he has or she has. Right? We don't like their ways, but we like what they got. And that's what draws us in to emulate, to model, to prototype what the world is doing. So do not envy the oppressor, or you're going to choose their ways. Right? I often tell the story about my friend Jason, who I went to high school with. I went to high school in the 90s during a time when There was a lot of commercial encouraging us young people to say no to drugs. And I was a say no to drug kind of kid. And so was my friend Jason. And so as we were in private school, and it so happened that Jason had to go to summer school because he had failed a class. And so he did. And our school didn't have summer school, so he went to a local public school where he did his summer, took his summer school classes. It so happened that that same year, that's at that public school, one of the neighborhood drug dealers were attending summer school, and they became friends. Jason was helping him with his work. And I remember when I first met him with Jason, and I literally was shocked because he was known as the neighborhood drug dealer. He wasn't the kind of guy that we would hang with. And, you know, Jason told me it's going to be fine. He knew what he was doing. He said he's just helping him with his schoolwork. Well, unfortunately, Jason ended up selling drugs with the guy and ended up being arrested. He was a teenager, so he was put on house arrest. And years down the line, he did end up doing prison, and in part because we didn't take it seriously. You know, he was on house arrest, and we out of the town. Me and my other friends, we encouraged him, or didn't encourage, but we didn't help, let's put it that way. Still went to clubs, still do other things. Well, fast forward, Jason was shot. Envy not the oppressor, choose none of his ways. Had Jason never gone to summer school, let alone had he never befriended this guy, because of the nice car he had, because of all the benefit that this gentleman had, he probably would be still alive today. What have you done, or have you been a part of, because you were drawn in, because you wanted what others have, or what others enjoy, and they may not share your values? And that's the unfortunate reality for many entrepreneurs. As Christians, as biblical entrepreneurs, we want what the world has. We don't like their ways, but we like their benefits. And so often now what I would do in a class, I would then say, okay, let's look at the alternative. So if you can't have what the oppressor have, what can you have? And I have my student, I would ask him, I said, what are the benefits of the kingdom ways, or of the ways of the kingdom? And they will kind of list them. They will list peace and joy and, right, fulfillment, all the intangibles. And I would say, well, can you eat peace? Can you eat joy? Right? I would remind my students, listen, those things are great and they are benefit of the kingdom, but the benefit of the kingdom also includes money, power, and influence. You just can't have them in using the ways they're the oppressor. But if you're using the ways of the kingdom, you can have those things. So the question becomes, what are the ways of the kingdom? What are the approach that as kingdom entrepreneurs that we are to do? What are the legal and ethical means that we are to employ to be able to have the success, the wealth, the influence, and so forth? So our commitment as biblical entrepreneurs must be this. It's better to have little with righteousness than a whole lot without right. Right? If I can't do it right, then it's not worth having. That must be our conviction. So we walk this nice tension between righteousness, justice, ethics, and success, and profitability. And if we do it well, it will no longer be attention because they become who we are. So let's look at the differences between worldly and circle entrepreneurship. So as you develop your kingdom business, you got to clarify the specific difference. Differences between biblical and worldly entrepreneurship to sharpen your discernment. Thank you for watching. My BB Ford is watching us today and listening. Thank you so much. The world sees entrepreneurship through an unspiritual lens. Worldly entrepreneurship is a way for self-driven individuals to participate in a free market economy in order to control resources and create wealth for their own purposes. Some are well-intentioned social entrepreneurs desiring to impact society. Others are driven to make as much money as they can. However, whenever anyone puts themselves in a position of control and is driven to direct the flow of money for their own intention, it often leads to an unhealthy business environment. Unsurrendered goals can easily twist your grip and begin to control you instead. Worldly entrepreneurs can become oppressors in the context of this teaching. And the oppressor is someone in a superior position who is self-serving self, operating according to the will of God. At worst, an oppressor displays greed and arrogance, using God's resources and principles for the sake of gain without acknowledging. Give little respect and appreciation for the environment, often abusing and destroying it for the sake of profit. If you have the book, I'm on page 302, by the way. Often underpaying employees, laying them up at the expense of cheap labor, shareholders' equity, normalizing destructive competition, creating hostility among businesses selling similar products or services. Violate God's law, even government regulations, for the sake of profit. Offer products and services regardless of their moral and ethical values, as long as it's in demand in the marketplace and profits can be made. Cultivate greed among shareholders and business executives, accumulating wealth being the name of the game. Abuse consumers with overpriced products and services and products of low or mediocre quality. You see, Proverbs 3:31 says, do not envy the oppressor, choose none of his ways. And that must be our commitment. We cannot be like the world. So with that, here are some differences between what it means to be a biblical entrepreneur and a secular entrepreneur. You see, biblical entrepreneurs, they use spiritual gifts and skills. They recognize that in doing business, they must bring their gifting, the endowment that God gave them into the marketplace, their spiritual gifts, their gift of service, their gift of leadership, their gift of prophecy, right? All the power gifts, as we call the all the functional gifts, all the perfecting gift. While secular entrepreneurs use only natural skills, biblical entrepreneurs, they are stewards versus owners. Biblical entrepreneurs seek biblical profit versus worldly profit. Their ideas are inspired by God versus self-inspired. They are directed by the Holy Spirit versus self-directed. Their confidence is in God versus in themselves. They're motivated by love and not money. They're interdependent versus independent. They're cooperative versus competitive. In other words, they complete others versus compete against others. They're focused on their calling versus career. Their kingdom focus versus big business focus. They enjoy others, serving others versus enjoying commanding others. And they follow God's methods versus their own methods. So here's a question. By those criterias, which entrepreneur are you? Are you a biblical or secular entrepreneur? If you want to know more, get the book, Biblical Entrepreneur Essentials. It will kind of give you the rundown. Our next podcast, we're going to deal with the qualities of a biblical entrepreneur. Okay, what does it look like to be a biblical entrepreneur? With that said, let me pray for you before I do a few commercials. If you want to get the book, Biblical Entrepreneur Essentials. I want you to visit our website. There's a link there. You can also visit our website, NehemiahEcommunity.com. You can go to the bookstore and purchase the ebook or the physical copy. Also, if you enjoy this podcast and you know someone who can be inspired and encouraged by this contrast between biblical and secular entrepreneurs, I want you to share this podcast with them. Share with your social media platform. Share with as many folks as we can. If this blessed you, say thank you by sharing with other people. Also, if you want to know more about how we can help you walk along your journey of being a biblical entrepreneur, go to our website, NehemiahEcommunity.com. NehemiahEcommunity.com. There you can learn about our training program, Biblical Entrepreneurship, Serve with Love, Identity and Destiny. You can learn about our coaching program, our executive coaching, our group coaching, our elite coaching. You can learn about our access to capital, where if you've been trained and coached or have been trained and coached by us, you qualify. So as you're a Diamond member, to access capital, to connect with our investors, or for us to invest in your business. Also, you can learn about how to become a member of our community, one of the fastest growing entrepreneurship communities in the world. We have entrepreneurs from Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, right, North America, so that together we can transform the world. With that said, I want to pray for you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord enable you to steward those talents that are under your care, those gifts, skills, and abilities, to steward them in such a way that one day you will hear those wonderful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. God will make you ruler over much. God bless you.